Thursday, December 19th. First reading from the book of Judges, chapter 13, verses 2 through 7, and 24 and 25. There was a certain man from Zorah of the clan of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and had borne no children. An angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Though you are barren and have had no children, yet you will conceive and bear a son. Now then, be careful to take no wine or strong drink, and to eat nothing unclean. As for the son you will conceive and bear, no razor shall touch his head, for this boy is to be consecrated to God from the womb. It is he who will begin the deliverance of Israel from the power of the Philistines." The woman went and told her husband, "A man of God came to me. He had the appearance of an angel of God, terrible indeed. I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will be with child and will bear a son. So take neither wine nor strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the boy shall be consecrated to God from the womb until the day of his death.' The woman bore a son and named him Samson. The boy grew up and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord stirred him." Haydock Commentary. The mother of Samson was required to abstain from every species of uncleanness as much as possible, at least while she bore and nursed her child. This was a preparation for the child who should abstain from all unclean things, not only for a time, but during his whole life, that he might be a more perfect figure of Christ. His dignity was not of choice, nor could he forfeit it by touching anything unclean, since as the deliverer of his people, he must often have been obliged to touch dead bodies. The power of the Philistines was greatly broken by Samson, but Samuel, Saul, and David had still to contend with them. The name Samson signifies his son or joy, or in Syriac, service. Samson began to manifest an eager desire to deliver his brethren. God inspired him to commence the liberation of his country when he was about 17 years old. Then he entered upon his judicial authority and punished the wrongs which the Philistines did him in person, as well as his countrymen. The Gospel from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Once when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God, according to the practice of the priestly service, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then, when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers toward children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord." Then Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him in reply, "I am Gabriel, who stand before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news, but now you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and were amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was gesturing to them, but remained mute. Then, when his days of ministry were completed, he went home. After this time, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she went into seclusion for 5 months, saying, "So has the Lord done for me at a time when he has seen fit to take away my disgrace before others." Haydock Commentary. The Almighty appointed to Moses that there should be but one high priest at a time, to whom, at his decease, a successor should be chosen. This rule obtained till the time of David, by whom, by the inspiration of God, many were appointed at once. According to this regulation, Zechariah is said to perform the office of priest according to the order of his course. Zechariah seems here to be described as high priest, who once a year entered alone in the inward sanctuary with the blood of the victims, which he offered for himself and the sins of the people. He was not chosen by a fresh lot to offer up incense, but by a previous lot, according to which the family of Abijah succeeded to the office of high priest. The people waited outside, according to Leviticus 16:12, whilst the high priest carried the incense into the Holy of Holies on the 10th day of the 7th month. By the appointment of David, the descendants from Aaron were divided into 24 families, of which the 8th was Abijah, from whom descended this Zechariah, who at this time was in the week of his priestly functions. Elizabeth was of the race of Aaron by her father, but her mother was probably of the race of David, from whom the Blessed Virgin, cousin of Elizabeth, descended. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous, not that in the sight of God they were exempt even from all lesser failings, which are called venial faults, but only from such sins as might make them forfeit the grace and favor of God. Three things are here to be noticed. 1. That good men do keep all God's commandments, which some moderns declare to be impossible. 2. That men are justified not by imputation only of Christ's justice, nor by faith alone, but by walking in the commandments. And 3. That keeping and doing the commandments is properly our justification through Jesus Christ. The Jews themselves were not permitted to enter into the first part of the tabernacle, called the Holy, much less into the second part of it, called the Holy of Holies. The people then prayed and performed their private devotions in that division of the temple called the Court of the Israelites, and were there waiting for the coming out of the priest Zechariah. We here see that the priest's functions profited the people, though they neither heard nor saw the priest, but only joined in intention with him. And so may the prayers of the priest in the Catholic Church, though offered up in an unknown tongue. The cause of Zechariah's fear was the general sentiment that obtained with the Jews that they would die immediately on seeing an angel. Gabriel said Zechariah's prayer was heard. We cannot suppose, as St. Augustine observes, that he was praying to have children when his wife was so advanced in years, but he was praying for the people and for the coming of the Messiah. Zechariah so far despaired of having any offspring that he did not believe the angel when he made him the promise. When therefore the angel says, "Thy prayer is heard," we must understand it of the prayer he offered on behalf of the people to whom salvation and remission of sins were to be brought by Christ. It is always a mark of singular merit whenever the Almighty either appoints or changes the name of a man. The name of John is derived from the Hebrew word, which means blessed with grace or divine favor. The prophecy that many will rejoice at his birth was fulfilled not only at his birth, but ever after by the Catholic Church when we celebrate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. After the angel had assured him of the joy this son would bring to many, he acquaints him of the excellency of his virtue. He says he shall be great before the Lord. He did not extend the boundaries of empire. He did not obtain the triumphs of war and force captive and degraded kings to pay him homage. But what is much greater, preaching in a desert, he renounced the pleasures of the world, and with the greatest fortitude, repressed and subdued the concupiscence of the flesh. Therefore it is said he shall drink no wine nor strong drink. The angel says that he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, from which words some conjecture that St. John the Baptist, though conceived in original sin, yet might have been freed from the guilt of it before he came into the world. He will turn the hearts of fathers toward children. The angel applies these words from Malachi 4:6 to St. John the Baptist, telling his father that he shall convert many of the children of Israel by bringing them to the knowledge of Christ. He shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, that is, St. John shall be the forerunner of Christ's first coming to redeem mankind, as Elijah shall be the forerunner of Christ's second coming to judge the world. St. John, by converting the Jews, shall also turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. The meaning of which obscure word seems to be that whereas Moses, Abraham, and the prophets, whose souls were in a place of rest, knew by a revelation from God that their children, the Jews, lived in sin and disobedience to the laws of God, and on this account were offended and displeased at them, now when they shall know that they have been converted by the preaching of St. John, they shall rejoice and be reconciled to their children, the Jews. For as our Savior tells us, there is joy in heaven upon any one sinner that doth penance. The angel, to explain the foregoing words, adds, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous. That is, St. John's preaching shall make them truly wise and just. With good reason is he said to precede Christ, who was his forerunner both in his birth and in his death. In the spirit of prophecy and in the power of abstinence and patience and zeal, John and Elijah resembled each other. Elijah was in the desert, St. John was in the desert also. The one sought not the favor of King Ahab, the other despised the favor of Herod. The one divided the Jordan, the other changed it into a laver of salvation. The one is to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ's second coming, as the other was of his first. Zechariah could not question the divine power, but he doubted of what the angel told him. It was customary with the Jews, when they heard that any wonderful event was to take place, to inquire whether the Almighty had manifested his will by any supernatural sign. Zechariah puts this question to the angel not through any doubt concerning the omnipotence of God, but because what was promised could not be compassed in the natural order of things. For, as he says, I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. The name Gabriel signifies the strength of God, or God is my strength. The angels are sometimes styled by proper names in order to show their respective duties. Thus, no angel could be better appointed to declare the precursor, as also the Messiah himself, than he who was styled the power of God, since he came to declare the coming of the one who was to destroy the power of the devil and overthrow his kingdom. On account of the many signs the angel had given that what he said was true, the unbelief of Zechariah seemed inexcusable, for the angel appeared in a holy place, in the temple, and during divine service. He moreover foretold what related to the redemption of all the people and to the glory of God. From all these circumstances, Zechariah ought to have concluded that it was a good angel and that what he said would eventually come to pass.